I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
This was tragic. It was a night that none of us will forget for a very long time. But do not forget that the system worked. The Secret Service kept us safe, and that man was quickly apprehended and subdued minutes, seconds after he tried to breach the perimeter.
A gunman tries to storm the White House Correspondents Association dinner Saturday night, shooting at security before he was tackled to the ground and arrested. He'll be arraigned today. The Secret Service evacuated President Trump and other officials as attendees fled or took cover under tables. In his reported manifesto, the gunman said he planned to target Trump administration officials. We'll be joined here in New York by California Congressmember Ro Khanna. He's calling for a bipartisan national commission on political violence. And we go to Vermont to speak with journalist and professor Jeff Charlotte, author of The Undertow, Scenes from a Slow Civil War. Then the Trump administration's announced new measures to ramp up and expedite executions of death row prisoners, including authorizing death by firing squad. We'll speak to longtime anti-death penalty advocate Sister Helen Prejean.
I'm not at all surprised that Trump is doing this to try to expand the methods of executions and to get as many executions as he can. We already saw what he did in his first term when he had 13 people executed before he left office.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A gunman charged a security checkpoint at the White House Correspondents' Dinner Saturday night at the Washington Hilton, exchanging gunfire with law enforcement before being subdued and taken into custody. President Trump and other senior administration officials were abruptly evacuated from the ballroom as Secret Service agents swarmed the venue and some attendees ducked under tables. The suspect has been identified as 31-year-old Cole Thomas Allen from Torrance, California. He'd checked into the hotel the day before, traveling by train from Los Angeles to Chicago to Washington, D.C. Allen's expected to be formally charged in court today. He reportedly left behind a written manifesto in which he stated he wanted to target officials in the Trump administration. In his so-called manifesto, the suspected gunman does not mention President Trump by name, but writes, quote, "I'm a citizen of the United States of America. What my representatives do reflects on me, and I am no longer willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes," unquote. In an interview with 60 Minutes, President Trump became defensive when host Nora O'Donnell read an excerpt of the suspect's manifesto.
Do you think he was referring
to
you?
Excuse me. I'm not a pedophile. You read that crap from some sick person. I got associated with all stuff that has nothing to do with me. I was totally exonerated. Your friends on the other side of the plate are the ones that were involved with, let's say, Epstein or other things. But I said to myself, you know, I'll do this interview and they'll probably, I read the manifesto, you know, as a sick person, but you should be ashamed of yourself reading that, because I'm not any of those things.
Mr. President,
and I
these
was
are
never,
the
excuse
gunman's
me,
words.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be reading that on 60 Minutes. You're a disgrace.
President Trump quickly moved to use the attack to promote the massive new ballroom he's constructing on the White House grounds, posting on Truth Social Sunday morning. This event would never have happened with the militarily top secret ballroom currently under construction at the White House. It cannot be built fast enough, he said. The Justice Department also used the shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner to try to pressure the National Trust for Historic Preservation to drop their lawsuit against Trump's $400 million ballroom project. Assistant Attorney General Brett Shumate gave the trust until 9 a.m. today to dismiss its lawsuit, writing in a letter that the ballroom, quote, will ensure the safety and security of the president for decades to come and prevent future assassination attempts on the president at the Washington Hilton. Meanwhile, on Sunday, nine people were injured in a mass shooting near the campus of the University of Indiana, Bloomington. Ceasefire talks between the U.S. and Iran collapsed over the weekend. President Trump abruptly canceled a planned trip to Pakistan by Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, posting the decision on Truth Social minutes after Pakistani officials announced that the Iranian foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, had left Islamabad. Araghchi traveled today to Moscow to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin to discuss the ceasefire negotiations. Axios is reporting Iran gave the U.S. a new proposal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and end the war, with nuclear negotiations postponed for a later stage. Meanwhile, Reuters reports an internal Pentagon email has outlined options for punishing NATO allies the Trump administration believes failed to support the U.S. operations in the Iran war, including suspending Spain from the alliance. Lebanon's health ministry reports Israeli strikes killed 14 people and wounded 37 others on Sunday, including two children. Despite the U.S.-brokered ceasefire, the Israeli military also ordered residents to evacuate seven towns north of the Litani River beyond the so-called buffer zone Israeli forces have occupied. Meanwhile, Hezbollah said it had attacked Israeli troops inside Lebanon, as well as the rescue force that came to evacuate them. One Israeli soldier was killed and six more wounded. More than 2,500 people have been killed in Israeli strikes across Lebanon since March 2nd, including 177 children and 100 medics, according to Lebanon's health ministry. More than 1.2 million people, nearly a fifth of Lebanon's population, have been displaced. In Gaza, Israeli forces killed at least 12 Palestinians Friday, including eight people killed when Israeli forces struck a police vehicle in Khan Yunis. A separate attack in Gaza City killed two police officers. Two others were killed in the bombing of a house in Beit Lahia in northern Gaza. Since the U.S. brokered ceasefire last year, Israel's killed at least 984 Palestinians. This is Ala Jaber. His brother was killed in an Israeli attack on Friday.
They should find a solution. Enough. They should find a solution. Where is the new government? Where is the new government? Where is it? You hear of 5-10 martyrs every day. Where? The Israelis advance on us, fire and projectiles, and we are living in the east of Gaza, close to death. Where should we go?
The U.S. Justice Department said Friday it'll use firing squads and single drug lethal injections to kill condemned federal prisoners as it seeks to ramp up and expedite capital punishment. It's also planning to impose new restrictions on the ability of death row prisoners to seek clemency or pardons, along with a regulation designed to cut years off the federal appeals process for state death penalty cases. At the Vatican, Pope Leo reiterated the Catholic Church's opposition to capital punishment on the same day the Trump administration announced its plans to expand state-sanctioned killings.
In this regard, we affirm that the dignity of the person is not lost even after various serious crimes are committed. Furthermore, effective systems of detention can be and have been developed that protect citizens while at the same time do not completely deprive those who are guilty of the possibility of redemption.
Later in the broadcast, we'll speak with Sister Helen Prejean, the renowned anti-death penalty activist. We'll speak to her in Chicago, where Pope Leo comes from. The Board of Immigration Appeals, BIA, has issued a ruling that makes it easier for the Trump administration to deport people with DACA. That's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. The new precedent decision by a three-judge panel outlined DACA can no longer guarantee deportation relief for thousands of people. The BIA operates within the Department of Justice. The ruling came in the case of Catalina Sochil Santiago, a DACA recipient and immigration rights advocate who was released from an ICE jail last October after being detained for about 2 months. The targeting of people with DACA has intensified under Trump's second term, with nearly 300 DACA recipients arrested last year, according to the Texas Tribune. In Colorado, an Egyptian mother and her five children were detained by federal immigration agents for several hours Saturday, less than 2 days after a federal judge ordered their release from the only U.S. family detention center where they'd been imprisoned for 10 months. Hayam al-Gamal was arrested when she complied with a requirement she check in with an ICE office in Denver. Her lawyer says she and her children were put aboard a deportation flight, but were removed from the plane before it could leave the U.S. after a federal court granted an emergency injunction. The al-Gamal family has already endured the longest known family detention under President Trump's second term at the South Texas Family Residential Center in Dilley, where they say their mental health suffered as they endured abhorrent medical care, rotten food, and a disregard for their religious freedom to practice Islam, they said. The Department of Homeland Security has given guidance to immigration officers, instructing them to deny green cards to immigrants who burn the U.S. flag, criticize the State of Israel, or participate in pro-Palestinian campus protests. That's according to the New York Times, citing internal DHS training documents, which have not been previously reported. The guidance discourages officers from granting permanent residency to people with a history of, quote, endorsing, promoting, or supporting anti-American views or anti-Semitic terrorism ideologies or groups, unquote. One example of questionable speech provided to officers is social media post that declares, quote, stop Israeli terror in Palestine, unquote, and shows the Israeli flag crossed out. In Washington, D.C., a federal appeals court ruled Trump's claims of an invasion in order to shut down asylum requests at the U.S.-Mexico border is unlawful. ACLU attorney Lee Gelernt, who argued the case, said, quote, this decision puts an end to the inhumane Trump policy of sending people, including families with little children, back to horrific danger without even a hearing, unquote. Trump issued the proclamation on his first day back in office. The U.S. military said Sunday it carried out another strike on a boat in the eastern Pacific Ocean, killing at least three people. U.S. Southern Command shared a video of a boat bursting into flames as it moved through open international waters. The Trump administration once again claimed the vessel was carrying drugs without providing any evidence. Since September, the Pentagon says it's killed at least 185 people in strikes on boats in the Caribbean and Pacific. The attacks have been widely condemned as illegal. The Mexican government said Saturday the two U.S. CIA agents killed in a car crash in northern Mexico after a drug raid earlier this month were not authorized to participate in such operations in the country. The car crash prompted an investigation into the agents' role with Mexico's Ministry of Security, saying in a statement, quote, Mexican law is clear. It does not permit the participation of foreign agents in operations within the national territory, unquote. Two Mexican law enforcement officers were also killed in the crash. In Ukraine, Russian drone and missile attacks killed at least 16 people over the weekend, including 9 people killed in Dnipro, where a Russian onslaught sparked fires across the city and partly destroyed several blocks of homes and businesses. Dozens of people were left wounded. This is a 74-year-old resident of Dnipro who narrowly avoided death when his apartment building was bombed.
Can you imagine the force of the explosion? It was so loud. I was laying down when the first blast went off. Debris started raining down on me, and the balcony was blown away. I had just grabbed a cigarette and gone into the toilet, and the last blast, it went off right next to me, and everything came crashing down. If I hadn't gone to the toilet, I don't know if I'd still be alive.
Meanwhile, Russian officials say a Ukrainian attack on the Russian-occupied Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant killed a worker. The International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, said it had launched an investigation and reiterated that such attacks, quote, endanger nuclear safety and must not take place, end quote. In Mali, armed Tuareg separatists joined fighters with an al-Qaeda-linked affiliate in a massive coordinated attack on the capital Bamako and 4 other cities Saturday. Amidst reports of explosions and gunfire at Bamako's international airport, officials reported Mali's defense minister, Sadio Camara, was killed when an apparent suicide attacker set off a truck bomb at his residence. Mali's military ruler, General Assimi Goita, was reportedly moved to a secure location after his home was targeted. He has yet to make a public statement. And Maine's Democratic governor, Janet Mills, has vetoed what would have been the nation's first statewide moratorium on large AI data centers. Mills said in a statement she'd block the landmark bill because it did not include an exception on a data center in the town of Jay at the site of a vacant mill that shuttered in 2023. Maine's data center moratorium had drawn strong bipartisan support and was backed by Maine residents who'd raised alarm about the potential threats to the environment and higher energy costs. At least a half a dozen states, including New York and Michigan, have considered similar measures. To see our coverage of this story with the sponsor of the Maine legislation, go to democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. More details are emerging about the gunman who rushed a security checkpoint at the White House Correspondents Association dinner Saturday night and exchanged gunfire with law enforcement. The suspect was tackled and arrested before reaching the ballroom. Authorities have identified the man as Cole Thomas Allen, a 31-year-old who traveled by train to Washington, D.C. from California through Chicago. He'd booked a room at the Washington Hilton where the dinner was taking place. He was armed with a shotgun, a handgun, and multiple knives. Allen was a graduate of the California Institute of Technology and worked as a tutor. In writing sent to family shortly before the shooting, Allen reportedly described himself as the friendly federal assassin, unquote, and referenced grievances with Trump policies. Allen's expected to be charged today with 2 counts of using a firearm and 1 count of assault on a federal officer using a dangerous weapon, and maybe more charges. Officials believe Allen acted alone. Video from inside the ballroom shows a chaotic scene in the moments after. Attendees heard nearby gunshots shortly after the dinner began. We just watched security racing up to the dais and taking President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump. Also, Vice President J.D. Vance and other top officials were rushed off the stage by Secret Service as guests crouched under tables for cover. On Sunday, Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche appeared on ABC This Week and talked about the investigation.
Well, we're 12 hours into the investigation. The FBI and other law enforcement worked through the night. They executed search warrants on both coasts, both in D.C. at the hotel room where he was staying, which was inside the conference center where we had the dinner, and also in Los Angeles at the suspected home. We know that he had two firearms on him, as has been reported, along with some knives. We believe that he traveled by train from Los Angeles to Chicago and then Chicago to Washington, D.C., and we've executed search warrants on his devices as well. We've started talking to folks that know him and to try to just continue to gather information and evidence. I was on the phone with the director of the FBI after 1 o'clock last night, and they were working through the night. He was working through the night, and I think that as the days go by, we'll certainly learn more, but That's what we know so far.
In his so-called manifesto, the gunman Cole Allen does not mention President Trump by name, but writes, quote, "I am a citizen of the United States of America. What my representatives do reflects on me. I'm no longer willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes," unquote. He also wrote he planned to target administration officials, with the exception of FBI Director Kash Patel. On Sunday, President Trump was interviewed on CBS's 60 Minutes by Nora O'Donnell.
The so-called manifesto is a stunning thing to read, Mr. President. He appears to reference a motive in it. He writes this, quote, "Administration officials, they are targets." And he also wrote this, "I am no longer willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes." What's your reaction
to
that?
Well, I was waiting for you to read that because I knew you would, because you're horrible people, horrible people. Yeah, he did write that. I'm not a rapist. I didn't rape anybody.
Do you think he was referring to you?
Excuse me. I'm not a pedophile. You read that crap from some sick person. I got associated with all stuff that has nothing to do with me. I was totally exonerated. Your friends on the other side of the plate are the ones that were involved with, let's say, Epstein or other things. But I said to myself, you know, I'll do this interview and I read the manifesto, you know, he's a sick person, but you should be ashamed of yourself reading that, because I'm not any of those things.
Mr. President,
and I was never, excuse me, you shouldn't be reading that on 60 Minutes. You're a disgrace.
That's President Trump admonishing CBS's Nora O'Donnell on 60 Minutes. Trump has sued CBS and 60 Minutes. CBS settled with him. We begin today's show with Congressmember Ro Khanna, Democratic congressmember from California, who's called for a bipartisan national commission for political violence. Thanks again for joining us. Good to have you in our studio. Why don't we start off with this commission? What are you calling for?
Well, first of all, the violence is never the answer in a democracy. And we've seen too many incidents, not just assassination attempts on the president's life, assassination attempts on Governor Shapiro, Paul Pelosi attacked by someone going to Speaker Pelosi's house. We need to lower the temperature, and we need to look at the causes of political violence, whether that's social media algorithms, whether it's mental health issues, whether it is access to guns, whether it is heated rhetoric, and what we can do to lower the temperature and prevent violence while not trampling on the First Amendment.
So what would this mean? What would this commission look like?
Well, I think it would look at what we can do, first of all, on social media algorithms. Right now, you have social media basically for profit, sensationalizing information and sending information to people who are vulnerable. Do we need reforms on Section 230? We need to look at what sensible recommendations there can be on gun laws, what sensible recommendations there can be for security for elected officials, what are standards in terms of what we want elected officials, how to communicate so that we aren't inciting violence in the ways that we've seen in our democracy, not to regulate it, but as a conversation about how we have more civility in our politics.
Let me ask you about gun violence. you have how many attacks we've been talking about just in the last week, numerous other cases of gun violence across the country. On Sunday, 9 people were injured in a mass shooting near the campus of Indiana University in Bloomington. I bet most people in this country didn't even hear about this shooting with the number of victims of it in Indiana, as people focused on the White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting. In Virginia, you have Lieutenant Governor, the former Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, recently fatally shot his estranged wife, Serena Fairfax, before taking his own life, a murder-suicide. In Louisiana, the 31-year-old Army veteran murdered 8 children, including 7 of his own, in a mass shooting rampage that spanned 4 locations across Shreveport last week. And we're just talking about the last week. What about the easy accessibility of guns in this country?
Well, it's shocking and tragic and makes me angry. I've been in Congress 10 years. We haven't passed anything significant. We know what would work. We know that when we had the assault weapons ban of 1993, 1994, that it lowered violence. We let that expire. We know we need universal background checks. We know that we need red flag laws to go to a court and take the guns away from people who have significant mental health issues, where people raise a flag. And we just have not been able to pass that. But there is, I do think, a difference between political violence and all of the horrific violence we're seeing with guns more generally. And that is that political violence strikes at the very heart of democracy. We cannot have a democracy if people are saying we're going to kill you if we disagree with your viewpoint. And that has to be condemned in the most strong, unequivocal terms.
I remember years ago when President Clinton said something along the lines of, this was after the shooting at Columbine, we have to teach our children that violence is not the answer. And this is when NATO was attacking Yugoslavia. And I'm wondering about that broader context of the massive violence. We're looking at the U.S. and Israel bombing Iran. We're looking at the attack on Venezuela. I was just reading in headlines about the attacks in the Pacific and Caribbean on these boats that the Trump administration doesn't provide evidence but says they're carrying drugs. But this level of violence in the world, if you can talk about what it means to have a government that makes violence look acceptable in some cases, but then you have this horror at the White House Correspondents' Association dinner, this attempted attack on the mass dinner of hundreds of journalists and Trump administration officials. That is clearly and rightly condemned. But what is considered acceptable and what isn't?
Well, I think that Dr. King said that militarism overseas leads to the corrosion of a society and violence at home. And we live in times where there has been violence. There was violence with Netanyahu in Gaza that our country supported. You have the president threatening to wipe off Iranian civilization. You have a fuel blockade in Cuba leading to starvation. As you reported, we are shooting boats in the Caribbean, some of those people innocent. And this has not recognized the dignity of human beings. That does not in any way justify the assassination attempt. But what it does suggest is that we have a culture that has embraced violence inconsistent with our ideals.
And interestingly, as you said, in no way does this justify. But in this reported manifesto, and by the way, this gunman, Cole Allen, 31 years old, apparently sent this minutes before he engaged in his attack to family members, and they went to law enforcement in their community quickly, and they said, this is what our brother or whoever he was in relation to them is saying. So in the manifesto, Cole Allen referenced U.S. foreign policy. He wrote, quote, "Objection one, as a Christian, you should turn the other cheek. Rebuttal. Turning the other cheek is for when you yourself are oppressed. I'm not the person raped in a detention camp. I'm not the fisherman executed without trial. I'm not a school kid blown up or a child starved or a teenage girl abused by the many criminals in this administration. That's what he wrote in the manifesto.
Well, sometimes just because he had intelligence of Caltech, it's not correlated with character or wisdom. It's a totally incoherent argument, and he's doing real damage to the most vulnerable by engaging in violence. He's actually hurting the very causes that he seeks to uphold. And what we need to say is very clearly, violence has no place. There's a democratic process to bring change. You can go organize. You can stand in No King's protests. You can help lead new people to be elected. But when you take